I'm Jen Hitt, and this is Editor's Picks. The Steel Wheels visited our studio last November and treated us to a performance.
Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your sister, tell some stranger. There ain't nothing you have that you can't lose. So give me love, let me down, drag my name all over this town. No regret, no revenge, no excuse. 'Cause I've been up in the sky, I've been down, I won't lie. It ain't easy, any path that you choose. Get you God, or get you demons, take to silence, or start to screaming, but there ain't nothing you have that you can't lose. So strip me down to the place where I was when I came on board. Every path that you take will have you knocking on the same old door. Take your time, breathe it in. Strange comfort, but in the end, there ain't nothing you have that you can't lose. So take your silver and your gold, lock them up like you've been told. But all your money ain't no good on this cruise. And if your luck has been low, if you're down and you just don't know, take some courage, because
here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you guys so much for coming in. We have we've got Jay Lapp on the mandolin, and we've got Oliver Craven on the fiddle, and Brian Dickel on bass, and on lead vocals and guitar is Trent Wagler. And Trent, you wrote that song, Nothing You Can't Lose. It's on your latest album, Red Wing.
Yes, yes, I did.
And you wrote about, I guess, 11 songs on that album. Mm-hmm. And that one particularly, a few of them touch on it, but that one particularly has kind of a gospel, spiritual mm-hmm. feel to it. The line, all your money is no good on this cruise. Are you talking about being on earth? Are you talking about spirituality there? What are you getting into on this song?
Well, I've told the story before that this song was inspired actually by a book by a guy named Eckhart Tolle. The Power of Now was the book. And it's certainly a spiritual book and a sort of philosophical book. Whether it's it's whatever gospel it particularly is pertaining to. That's kind of up to the listener, I guess. But yeah, there's a lot of gospel-fueled kind of inspiration, especially on this album, but in the Steel Wheels in general. And I think that it's that sort of that the power of that passion and spirituality that's in that music really inspires me as a songwriter. And we sort of, that passes through us, and the songs certainly still have some of that stamp on it by the time they get to the listener. So,
well, Red Wing is your second group album, is that correct?
Yeah, as the Steel Wheels. We did one album that was technically Trent Wagler in the Steel Wheels. But yeah, this is our second full band album.
How long have you guys been playing together?
About 6 years, all told, in one form or another, we've been the Steel Wheels.
And how'd you find each other?
Oh man, that you sure ready? You're ready for that story? It's kind of a long, tangled story. The bass player Brian and I and our original fiddle player Eric all went to college together, and we met each other there. I played in a rock band with Brian way back when. I was playing electric bass at the time, and he was playing electric guitar. It was a totally different kind of music, obviously. And then we lost track of each other and kind of got reacquainted about 6.5 years ago or so. And he was playing upright bass, and he was actually building guitars for Huss and Dalton Guitars down in Stanton, Virginia. And I was playing some solo stuff, and we got together and started playing a little bit. And on the other side of the room over here, Jay Lapp was playing at the same time with some good friends of ours, but playing in a band up in northern Indiana. And I opened a show for them down at a little place called The Little Grill in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And Jay hopped up on stage and played most of the opening set with me. And after that night, we basically started scheming to do some recording together. And we've been playing together in one way ever since, one way or another.
Nice. Well, I have to ask, the name of the band, The Steel Wheels, is that based on the Rolling Stones album? Or where did you come up with that?
Yeah, we had there was a DJ in Boston that first saw us. His name was John Laurenti, and he said, "Oh man, I'm gonna go back to Boston. I'm gonna tell everybody, worst Rolling Stones cover band ever." but yeah, I like the name. Brian actually first suggested the name. Our bass player Brian, back here. And I'm gesturing towards him if you can't see that. But Brian suggested it because it had several tie-ins with the Americana music we play and sort of the railroad, the Steel Wheels kind of feel. We thought that fit well. Many of us at least have played rock music or some kind of other form of music, and so we thought some reference that also fit with something like the Rolling Stones would work. And another unique little tidbit is the original four members of the band all came in one way or another from a Mennonite background. And so there's a little Amish Mennonites in their buggies. They oftentimes would employ steel wheels. And so that was a little like kind of inside joke sort of track to why we also called ourselves the Steel Wheels.
Well, you brought up your family. Do you have a musical family? Is that how you learned to play? Or?
Well, yeah. In a lot of ways it is. For me, I think all of us in the band had some music growing up, certainly around us. My dad played with his three brothers and sang in a quartet, a gospel quartet, growing up. And my grandfather played the harmonica and still plays the harmonica. We had the opportunity as a band to actually visit with him. He lives in Bean Blossom, Indiana, of all places, a real hub for bluegrass music because of Bill Monroe's Bluegrass Jamboree there. But Grandpa has played the harmonica since he was a little boy, and actually the title track for this album, Red Wing, I first heard that tune from my grandfather's harmonica, and we decided to take that old tune that always kind of captured me, and we slowed it down a bit and put our own lyrics to it. And yeah, it's special to me, though, because of that experience of hearing it from Grandpa, so... And this old tune, I mean, you'll hear it. I heard it a lot after Grandpa played it in a lot of other bluegrass or old-time jams, usually as an instrumental, and usually really fast. But we slowed it down. We kind of put our own little touch to it. And if you know, Woody Guthrie also used this tune in his Union Maid song as well. So it's been well-worn. But this is our version of Red Wing.
in the summer sun, 1981. The day was long till I heard the song whistle like the wind. And I was standing there, dust was flying through the air, like days before when we believed in things we couldn't see. Oh, my red wing, take me softly to my home now, to my family. Oh, my red wing, hold me closely, take me under the brightest sun. Come, I'll rest my weary bones and pray the bird I love hasn't flown away, and I will call again up to my kindest friend. The ground below will be set free, and with my love I'll be. Oh, my red wing, take me softly to my home now, to my family. Oh, my red wing, hold me closely, take me under the brightest sun. She has none, and she was never won by metal wings or death machines or anything between. When my time has come and all my days are done, if heaven waits, we'll breach the gates, on her wings we'll be one. Oh, my red wing, take me softly to my home now, to my family. Oh, my red wing, hold me closely, take me under the brightest sun. Oh, my red wing, take me softly to my home now, to my family. Oh, my red wing, hold me closely, take me under the setting sun.
The Steel Wheels with Red Wing, which is the title track off of their latest CD, and that's independently released, correct?
Yep, that's right.
Wonderful. And on the CD, actually, you have Robin and Linda Williams perform with you. How did that collaboration come about?
Oh, well, I mentioned Huss and Dalton guitars down in Stanton, and that's the instrument that I play, is one of the Huss and Dalton guitars. And Robin and Linda have played those same instruments as well for many years. And so it was through the shop there that I had a chance to meet them. And I know Brian, I mentioned before, used to work quite a bit with Huss and Dalton, still does some work for them. And so he worked on their guitars, quite literally. And so, yeah, we got to jam with them and play with them several times there. And we just asked them if they would show up one day out at this cabin. And we had set up a studio in this cabin in Augusta County, Virginia, down there. And we had a wonderful day of sitting together and recording. There's actually a fairly good video. I mean, it's a pretty it's not particularly high resolution, but a pretty good video of us actually recording the final take in this little cabin that I think is available on our website, which is thesteelwheels.com, if you're interested in seeing that actual collaboration as it unfolded. But
well, did you record the whole thing in the cabin?
We had two separate sessions, and one was up in a bed and breakfast in northern Indiana. We had a fairly mobile studio that we were able to set up and kind of spend a week up there in a beautiful, it actually is a bed and breakfast that belongs to Jay's dad. And so it was perfect. We were able to just kind of take over for most of a week there. And then we did the rest of the sessions in this little cabin in Augusta County. And they both were great settings and lots of memories in those recordings. Another really neat moment was we did the very final track on the album we did was a traditional song, Working on a Building. And we decided to record that one. If we wanted to do that, we said to ourselves, you know, we don't just want to do it all tracked out. We want to do it really, really live and just make it as raw as we can. And so we put one microphone outside on the porch of the cabin, and it was probably, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night or something, and it was September. And so there were all these bugs, and you know, the katydids were just kind of yelling at us. And you can hear in the recording those sounds are there, and they're there sort of intentionally. And we just recorded everything with one take and one mic, sort of like we're doing a little bit in here. And it just, there was something about that recording. We said, yeah, we want to put that on. We'll put that as the last track. And it was really nice.
You're very realistic.
Yeah.
But also, this is a theme that runs throughout this album and a lot of your songwriting is the connection with nature.
Mm.
I don't know if that's intentional or if it's just kind of what comes out of you. How do you songwrite? Do you sit down and say, I want to write a song about this? Or is it more, I'm going to sit down and noodle on my guitar and, and like say out loud what I'm thinking?
Yeah, that's a really good question. For me, there's not a particular equation or formula that each song runs through. There are times where I am disciplined to write every day and try to sit down and do something with an instrument and something writing. And then there's other times where it's, you know, scrawling a few things on a napkin as I'm driving down the road or whatever. So some of it comes more from an inspiration of something that's happened or something that I think, boy, there's a song there and a few lines come. Other songs have really come out just the way they end up in a verse form and pretty untouched from that point on. But the connection to nature, I think it's just, we live down in the Shenandoah Valley, and there's mountains there. There's beautiful, especially this time of year with the fall, beautiful leaves and lots to look at. And I think I like the metaphors that you find in nature, and I like the openness of that too, as a listener, to be able to just kind of take the metaphors of a mountain or a valley or whatever it might be, and kind of apply it to whatever the listener sees in that. I really like that. So,
well, you had mentioned earlier that Brian used to work at an instrument maker, and when you were setting up, Brian, if you could step in front of the mic, I'd love to ask you about your bass. It's one of the most unique basses that I've ever seen. If you could tell us a little bit about it,
yeah,
what it's called.
Yeah.
I've never.
This bass is made by a guy named Charlie Chadwick, who I first met. He was playing bass with the John Jorgensen Quintet, a gypsy jazz a group. And I saw him tearing down his bass into pieces after a show and folding it into just the size of the body and putting it into his trunk that he threw in the van. I thought, I've got to talk to this guy. So I talked to him. At that time, he had hacked apart like 8 basses in his garage. It was just for his personal use. And
that's
I said,
an expensive
hey.
Hobby.
Yeah, he had a bunch of old junkers, I guess, he had gotten like at flea markets over the years. And so I said, hey, if you ever decide to make one of those, look me up because I'm interested. And a couple of years later, he said he was getting a few made for him. And so this was one of the first 5 ever made. And yeah, it's pretty unique. It comes apart like everything snaps together, no tools, and I can have it totally in pieces and folded into itself in about 3 minutes or so.
So for our listeners who can't obviously see what we're talking about, the whole neck actually comes off the body of the bass, and everything then gets contained back inside the bass. But you don't you don't detach the strings, do
No,
you?
It's a pretty ingenious design. Everything's made to stay together as much as it can and yet come apart and fold into itself. So it's just a matter of tuning up the strings. It takes a little more time and setting it up, but otherwise it's a totally normal bass by most appearances.
And the bridge itself also comes off? It
doesn't
stay glued on
a bridge
there?
On a normal bass is just floating there anyhow, so that just comes off when you loosen the strings, and everything goes into a nice little flight case, and it's still big, but much smaller than a normal upright.
And you don't
bass.
Notice any difference in sound from a regular
Not really. You know, it starts off as a normal bass at the factory, and they basically convert it into this. So by all intents and purposes, it's just a normal bass.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, since I have you in front of the microphone, how did you get into music?
I grew up in a musical family as well. Somewhat reluctantly, I would sing with my family as a kid. I never thought it was that exciting to be up in front of people and singing. I have two sisters and my parents, and we would all get up and do some church programs, things like that every now and then. I played trumpet then for 14 years.
Marching band?
Yep, did the whole marching band and orchestra and all of that through high school. And then the trumpet kind of left. I don't know. It's probably in my head somewhere after that long. But, yeah, then just in college, I really got into acoustic music and was exposed to a whole different thing that I hadn't grown up with.
And you grew up in Virginia as well?
I grew up in Iowa.
Okay.
And looking back, there probably was acoustic music there for the taking. I didn't know about it at the time. But when I moved to Virginia, it was definitely much more around you, you know, right there. You can't help but find it, whether you like it or not. You can't help but find it. And, yeah, I really ended up liking it. So like Trent said, we started off playing kind of a punk and a rock band together. And then, yeah, we kind of parted ways, and we both came to acoustic music and realized we both kind of liked the same stuff when we got back together. So.
Nice. So different influences coming together to finally bring you to an acoustic perspective.
Yeah.
I saw you guys perform live in Bristol, and I definitely heard the influence of other types of music in your set. And there was one song that I had asked you guys if you could play for me today. And I don't know if you have a special introduction you do with this next tune or not. But
no, I think we can just go right into it.
Simple and the gift ain't free, so blow it out, travel light, and come with me, go. nature, and I'm no sage, but everybody here seems to act their age. Don't say yes if you mean no. Don't stop now, we got to go, go. You gotta run to the top of Miller's Hill, go. Shake a little powder on the floor, ho, ho.
The Steel Wheels with a three-part medley in there. We heard that was Miller's Hill, and what was the instrumental in the middle?
Miller's Hill, and then the traditional Tamlin.
And the not-so-traditional.
The lesser-known traditional of Straight Up by Paula Abdul.
Wonderful. Yeah. Really, really love that. Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, yeah, our pleasure.
Another unconventional thing that you guys have done recently is your bicycle tour that read about. You've done two of those now where you actually... Or do you take all of your gear on bicycles?
Yes. So far, Jay and I have done two bicycle tours as a duo, as sort of the Steel Wheel duo. And we did, we took two guitars and the mandolin and our CDs and a couple microphones and a few sets of clothes. And Jay pulled a trailer behind his bike, and I have kind of a special long tail bicycle. Again, all this, there's a really, really good little documentary about our first tour that's online as well, if people want to check that out. But we did our first tour in Virginia, and we started in my hometown of Harrisonburg, or where I live in Harrisonburg, and then we did about 250, no, like 300. Somewhere, yeah, that's right, 290, something like that, miles of a big loop that went down all the way down to Roanoke and sort of came through Lynchburg and back up on the other side of the mountain. And then that was last September of 2009. And then in May of this year, we did a 500-mile tour in Michigan for 10 days, which we added the banjo to the mix. so it's a lot more weight, actually, if you add another
instrument.
Open-back
banjo?
Yeah,
or...
open-back,
okay,
but with a tone ring. It's still pretty heavy, I'll have you know. adding any instrument to your bicycle does add some weight, significant weight, when you're pulling it with your pedals.
But and what were you thinking? Like, oh, I want to make touring even harder than it already is.
Well,
let's go on bikes.
Yes, yes and no. I mean, it kind of started as a joke, and we were talking about, I don't know, eco-touring and green touring, and that's a big conversation and amongst musicians who, I guess, care about the environment, maybe. And so we were talking about different possibilities, and it sort of came up originally as sort of a joke. You know, well, we could just bike to all of our shows, and then we wouldn't be using any gas. And so then I started looking online, and I realized that, of course, I wasn't the first person to have this idea, and I saw a few other people doing, in one kind or another, some kind of bicycle touring with instruments, and I said, well, I think we should at least try this and see what it's like. And so the first one was kind of an experiment. We definitely went into it saying, hey, we might hate this and never want to do it again, or we might really like it, and if we do like it, we want to try to make it at least a regular occurrence. We know we can't tour everywhere we go by bicycle, but when we can, it's really exhilarating and a lot of fun. You're tired in a different way, I guess, at the end of the day versus riding in a van all day, which is what we do when we're normally touring. And so, but there's a certain amount of energy you also get from it.
Different kind of stiff muscles.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And so you've just had this album come out and you're touring for that. And then I guess you're going to take a break for the holidays, and any plans for the new year?
Well, we've got a lot more touring in the new year. We're traveling down to Texas in January. And we'll be traveling around. We're getting some good festivals are coming through for us for the summer. So, we're going to use this time off from touring over the next month to make some finishing touches on some new songs. And
okay.
we've been playing a few new ones in our shows lately, and just getting some of them kind of out for the first time, and trying to figure out how we want to perform them and eventually record them. I think we're planning sometime in 2011 to be recording at least part of the next album. So we're definitely looking forward to that as well.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Do you want to take it out with one more song?
Sure. Let's do Dance Me Around the Room.
Strike up the band, play me a tune. I want to dance right under the moon. Play that love song the way that it usually goes. Sing it soft and now low, soft and now low. I am no stranger to pain, and I know it will come. We're familiar with some, but we're young, and we hope, and we should. Now let the strings move the wood, let the strings move the wood. And dance me around. Tell me that song that you wrote was not written for me, and then sing me to sleep. The ground, it is shifting where we choose to lay our feet. Won't you tell me my name? Tell me my name. I can hear music in silence, there's spaces between the words, sweet harmonies, no slight significance. We are so small in this crowd. Won't you quiet me now? Quiet me now. Dance me. as we get ready to call this night to an end. Here is one for my friends. All of the music we've played and the songs that we've sung. Forgotten, not one. Forgotten, not one. So tell them one more. Play me a tune, make it a waltz. Tell the crooner to croon. Play that old song the way that it usually goes. Sing it soft and now low, soft and now low.
I'm Jen Hitt. Thanks for listening to this week's Editor's Picks.